Welcome to Zichu Daf Simani. I'm Rabbi Avram Gold. Hi, and today we're Zichu Shavuos Daf Tes Zayin, the second Perek Yedias HaTumah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, regarding the requirements for being Mekadosh the Mikdash and Yerushalayim. Rav Huna says, B'chol Eilu Tanan. We learned on a mission that sanctification is effective only with all of these requirements listed. Rav Nachman says, B'achz M'chol Eilu Tanan. We learned on a mission that sanctification is effective even with only one of these requirements. This Malchokas hinges on how to explain the fact that Ezra was Mekadosh Yerushalayim and the second base of Mikdash without a Melech and no Urim Batumim. Rav Huna holds Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shaita V'Kitchel Asid Levot. The original Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the base of Mikdash sanctified its site for its time and forever and needed no sanctification in Ezra's time. Rather, Ezra was performing a Zecher Ba'alma, a mere remembrance of the initial sanctification, and no inference can be drawn from its lacking a Melech and Urim Batumim. Rav Nachman holds Lo Kitchel Asid Levot, so Ezra needed to be Mekadosh again. Since he did so without a Melech and Urim Batumim, this proves that not all elements are necessary. The Gemara proves the question of Kedusha Rishon is a Malchokas Tanaim. Point number two, the Mishnah Daf Yud Beis Am Beis taught that if one became Tameh in the Mikdash and forgot either his Tumah or that he was in the Mikdash, and he either bowed or delayed leaving in some way, he's liable to a Karban. The Gemara asks for the source that one is liable for Tumah contracted while in the Mikdash, since the Pasuk prohibits being Metameh the Mikdash, and this person was Metameh it as soon as he became Tameh. It answers that there are two Pesukim, Es Mishkan Hashem Timeh, he has contaminated Hashem's Mishkan, and Ki Es Mikdash Hashem Timeh, for he has contaminated Hashem's Mikdash. Im Eino Inyan LaTumah Shebachutz, if the second Pasuk has no application for Tumah contracted outside the Mikdash, since it's already known, Taneo Inyan LaTumah Shebifnim, applied instead to a Tumah contracted inside the Mikdash, teaching liability for not leaving immediately. Although both psukim are necessary to teach liability for entering either the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash while Tameh, because neither can be derived from the other, the Gemara explains that the word Mishkan or Mikdash could have been used in both psukim, and the changed terminology indicates a second drasha. And point number three, the Mishnah Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis taught that if one became Tameh in the Mikdash and then bowed or delayed long enough to bow or exited via a long route, he's liable. Rav explained that bowing without delaying is the only liable sheishtachva klapei pnim, where he bowed towards the inside of the Mikdash, towards the Heichal, which is considered bowing. Aval yishtachva klapei chutz, but if he bowed towards the outside, shahai ein, then if he delayed, he's liable, but not if he did not delay, since this is not considered bowing. The Gemara records another version of Rav's statement. Bowing which does entail delaying is kriya ba'alma, merely kneeling, and bowing which does entail delaying, which is the delay period described in the Mishnah, is pishut yadayim raglayim, outstretching arms and legs, which is prostration. Amoraim dispute the exact length of this time period. In addition to these two types of bowing, a brisa defines kida as al alpaim, bowing down upon one's face. So once again, the three points are, number one, regarding the requirements of being Mekadosh, the Mikdash, and Yerushalayim. Rav Huna says, B'chol Eilu Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah that sanctification is effective only with all of these requirements listed. Rav Nachman says, B'achz M'chol Eilu Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah that sanctification is effective even with only one of these requirements. This Malchokas hinges on how to explain the fact that Ezra was Mekadosh Yerushalayim and the second base of Mikdash without a Melech and no Urim Batumim. Rav Huna holds Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shaita V'Kitchel Asid Levot. The original Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the base of Mikdash sanctified its site for its time and forever and needed no sanctification in Ezra's time. Rather, Ezra was performing a Zecher Ba'alma, a mere remembrance of the initial sanctification, and no inference can be drawn from its lacking a Melech and Urim Batumim. Rav Nachman holds Lo Kitchel Asid Levot, so Ezra needed to be Mekadosh again. Since he did so without a Melech and Urim Batumim, this proves that not all elements are necessary. The Gemara proves the question of Kedusha Rishon is a Malchokas Tanaim. Point number two, the Mishnah Daf Yud Beis Am Beis taught that if one became Tameh in the Mikdash and forgot either his Tumah or that he was in the Mikdash, and he either bowed or delayed leaving in some way, he's liable to a Karban. The Gemara asks for the source that one is liable for Tumah contracted while in the Mikdash, since the Pasuk prohibits being Metameh the Mikdash, and this person was Metameh it as soon as he became Tameh. It answers that there are two Pesukim, Es Mishkan Hashem Timeh, he has contaminated Hashem's Mishkan, and Ki Es Mikdash Hashem Timeh, for he has contaminated Hashem's Mikdash. Im Eino Inyan LaTumah Shebachutz, if the second Pasuk has no application for Tumah contracted outside the Mikdash, since it's already known, Taneo Inyan LaTumah Shebifnim, applied instead to a Tumah contracted inside the Mikdash, teaching liability for not leaving immediately. Although both psukim are necessary to teach liability for entering either the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash Valtame, because neither can be derived from the other, the Gemara explains that the word Mishkan or Mikdash could have been used in both psukim, and the changed terminology indicates a second drasha. And point number three, the Mishnah on Daf Yud Daled Amud Beis taught that if one became Tame in the Mikdash and then bowed or delayed long enough to bow or exited via a long route, he's liable. Rav explained that bowing without delaying is the only liable Shishtachva Klapei Pnim, where he bowed towards the inside of the Mikdash, towards the Heichal, which is considered bowing. Aval Yishtachva Klapei Chutz, but if he bowed towards the outside, Shahai Ein, then if he delayed, he's liable, but not if he did not delay, since this is not considered bowing. The Gemara records another version of Rav's statement. Bowing which does entail delaying is kriya ba'alma, merely kneeling, and bowing which does entail delaying, which is the delay period described in the Mishnah, is pishut yadayim raglayim, outstretching arms and legs, which is prostration. Amoraim dispute the exact length of this time period. In addition to these two types of bowing, a braisa defines kida as al alpaim, bowing down upon one's face. Alright, so now we got our siman daf tes zayin, and our standard siman is toes, and to make the siman more distinct, we use an acrobat with big toes. An acrobat with big toes, so here goes. The acrobat with big toes who jumped over a navi, leading a ceremony to expand Yerushalayim in the days there were no king, or Urim Utumim, watched in horror as his friend the acrobat flipped onto a sheretz inside the Mikdash, and finished his act by bowing without delay toward the outside of the Mikdash, avoiding punishment. Once again, slow motion. The acrobat with big toes. Acrobat with big toes? That must move on Daf Tes Zayin. The acrobat with big toes who jumped over a navi leading a ceremony to expand Yerushalayim in the days there were no king, or Urim Utumim, which reminds us, regarding the requirements for being Mekadesh the Mikdash and Yerushalayim, Rav Huna says, B'chol Eilu Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah that sanctification is effective only with all of these requirements listed. Rav Nachman says, B'achas M'chol Eilu Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah that sanctification is effective even with only one of these requirements. This Machlokas hinges on how to explain the fact that Ezra was Mekadesh Yerushalayim and the second base of Mikdash without a Melech and no Urim Utumim, and is based on the Machlokas whether Kedush Rishon Kitchulu Shaita V'Kitchulu Asinu Lavo. So, the acrobat with big toes who jumped over a navi leading a ceremony to expand Yerushalayim in the days there were no king or Urim Utumim, watched in horror as his friend the acrobat flipped onto a sheretz inside the Mikdash, which reminds us, the more discusses the source that one who becomes Tame in the Mikdash can be liable. So the acrobat with big toes who jumped over a navi leading a ceremony to expand Yerushalayim in the days there were no king or Urim Utumim, watched in horror as his friend the acrobat flipped onto a sheretz inside the Mikdash, and finished his act by bowing without delay toward the outside of the Mikdash, avoiding punishment. Which reminds us, Rav explained that bowing without delaying is only liable shehishtachava klapi panim, where he bowed towards the inside of the Mikdash, towards the Heichal, which is considered bowing, avishtachava klapi chutz, but if he bowed towards the outside, shahayin, then if he delayed, he's liable, but not if he did not delay, since this is not considered bowing. So once again, the acrobat with big toes who jumped over a navi leading a ceremony to expand Yerushalayim in the days there were no king or Urim Utumim, watched in horror as his friend the acrobat flipped onto a sheretz inside the Mikdash, and finished his act by bowing without delay toward the outside of the Mikdash, avoiding punishment. Alright, so now it's time for our four Blabach Hazara. Daf Yud Beis. So the symbol Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. Well, six of the 12 Kohen brothers, six of 12 brothers, that must be on Daf Yud Beis. While six of the 12 Kohen brothers were busy offering the extra tamidin as kaitz mizbeach, which reminds us, Rabbi Shimon does not hold that lay based in Masna Elohen, the mind of Basin, stipulates about communal kachim to make their kedusha conditional if they're needed. Therefore, he holds the yearly extra tamidin cannot be redeemed without a mum. Rabbi Yochanan explains, according to Rabbi Shimon, how these tamidin are used. Mekitzim behenes mizbeach. We use them as desserts on the Mizbeach, meaning they're offered as voluntary communal olos when the Mizbeach would otherwise be idle. So while six of the 12 Kohen brothers were busy offering the extra tamidin as kaitz mizbeach, and four were busy redeeming the found seir rosh chodesh and purchasing a goat for kaitz mizbeach with the proceeds because of a gazera, which reminds Rabbi Shimon agrees that the seir chatas cannot be used for kaitz mizbeach. The Gemara explains that this is a derabanan. Fundamentally, even a communal chatas which cannot be used for its purpose changes into a voluntary ola and is sacrificed as an ola. However, since it was initially a chatas and would now be brought as an ola, we say gezer lacha kapara atlifne kapara. There's a decree against sacrificing it after atonement via substitute because of the possibility someone may come to sacrifice it as an ola before atonement via substitute when it still must be brought as a chatas. Because of the possible confusion, they decreed not to sacrifice this animal at all, and instead to redeem it with a mum and purchase an ola with the proceeds. Several proofs are brought for this gezera. So, while six of the 12 Kohen brothers were busy offering the extra tamidin as kaitza mizbeach, and four were busy redeeming the found seer Rosh Chodesh and purchasing a goat for kaitza mizbeach with the proceeds because of a gezera, one brother was dreaming of taking the seer hamishtalech out in Yom Kippur to atone for his rebellious brother, who didn't fulfill a mitzvah's aseh and refused to do teshuvah. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses when an aseh violation would be atoned by the seer hamishtalech. Rabbi Zera explains that the Mishnah's case is ba'omid b'mirdo, with one who stands in his rebellion and refuses to repent, and the Mishnah follows Rabbi's opinion that Yom Kippur atones for nearly all averos, even without teshuvah. Daf Yud Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a bar mitzvah boy. So here goes. The bar mitzvah bacher, that must be around Daf Yud Gimel. The bar mitzvah bacher who waited anxiously for his first Yom Kippur to get a kapara on all his averos, even without doing tshuva, which reminds us, Rebbe said, I'll call aver shabbatorah for all transgressions in the Torah. Ben asid tshuva, ben lasid tshuva, whether he repented or did not repent. Yom Kippur imachapi, Yom Kippur atones. He darshans three exceptions from a pasuk, ki divar Hashem baza, because he disgraced the word of Hashem, zeh pork ol. This means one who throws off Hashem's yoke by denying his existence, umagal pani mitorah, and one who speaks brazenly about the Torah, that's mitzvah so hefar, and he has violated Hashem's commandment, zeha mefer bris babasar. This means one who violates the covenant of bris milah. So the bar mitzvah bach, who waited anxiously for his first Yom Kippur to get a kapara on all his averos, even without doing tshuva, and ruined it at the last minute by becoming chayiv karis by eating right before sunset, which reminds the Gemara discusses karis for a Yom Kippur transgression according to Rebbe. Rebbe agrees regarding the karis for transgressions of the day of Yom Kippur itself that they are not atoned without tshuva. The Gemara explains that this is possible in two ways, where he ate raw meat and it choked him and he died before Yom Kippur could provide atonement, or where he ate at the last moment of Yom Kippur without enough time to be atoned. So the bar mitzvah bach, who waited anxiously for his first Yom Kippur to get a kapara on all his averos, even without doing tshuva, and ruined it at the last minute by becoming chayiv karis by eating right before sunset, looked on jealously at his cousin the bar mitzvah Kohen, who got a kapara from vidui on the par and not from the Seir HaMishtaleach, which reminds the Gemara discusses the source of the machlokas whether Kohanim are included in the Seir HaMishtaleach's atonement, or whether the vidui over the par atones for the Kohanim for all other averos, and they are not included in the Seir HaMishtaleach's atonement. Daf Yud Dal, so the Simon Daf Yud Dal is a yada hand, and we use a juggler for the Simon. So here goes. When the head juggler, that must be on Daf Yud Dal, yad hand. When the head juggler confessed his sin of dropping some balls before he confessed the sins of his sons who juggled and also dropped some balls, which reminds the Kohen Yehuda that Kohanim are also atoned through the Seir HaMishtaleach for their other averos, why is the second confession necessary? The Gemara answers, one vidui is for the Kohen Gadol himself and one is for his household, meaning the other Kohanim. He must confess his own sins before separately confessing theirs because of what Rabbi Shmuel's academy taught. Kach hi midas adin noheges. This is how the attribute of justice operates. Mutav yavu zakav yechapra al chayiv. It's better that an innocent person come and atones for the guilty, while yavo chayiv yechapra al chayiv, rather than the guilty person come and atone for the guilty. So when the head juggler confessed his sin of dropping some balls before he confessed the sins of his sons who juggled and also dropped some balls, another juggler decided to juggle only four yediyas atuma balls, leaving four balls on the side, which reminds us, Rapapa explains that there are actually eight relevant yedios: awareness of tumi before and after eating kachim, or before and after entering the mikdash, awareness of food before kachim, before and after eating it, while tame, and awareness of the mikdash area before and after entering it, while tame. However, our Mishnah only calculates the yedios afterwards, which bring him to a carbon liability. Alternatively, the Mishnah only calculates the yedios beforehand, which are never a factor in all of the Torah, meaning a carbon normally does not require prior awareness. So when the head juggler confessed his sin of dropping some balls before he confessed the sins of his sons who juggled and also dropped some balls, another juggler decided to juggle only four yediyas or tumah balls, leaving four balls on the side, while balancing a piece of a sheretz the size of a lentil on his nose, not knowing that this size is metame, which reminds us, Rapapa asks, Ne'alamu manu hilchos tuma mahu, if laws of tuma were hidden from him, what is the halacha? Is his awareness that he physically touched a sheretz considered initial awareness if he didn't realize that it made him tame? The Gemara clarifies, this does not mean someone did not know if a sheretz or frog is matami, because this is a case of gold learning in a schoolhouse, meaning it's considered known. Rather, the case is where he touched a sheretz the size of a lentil and didn't know that this size is matame. This question remains unresolved. Dav Tes Vav, so the Simur Dav Tes Vav is a fruit bowl. So here goes. As Lachme told in large fruit bowls, that must mean one Dav Tes Vav. As Lachme told in large fruit bowls were being paraded around as part of the procedure to expand the borders of Yerushalayim, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that additions to Yerushalayim of the Azores of the Mikdash required the Melech, a Navi, the Orim Utumi, the Sanhedrin of 71 judges, and with two Toda Karbanas and with song. These requirements are derived from the pasuk describing the Mishkan's construction, which concludes Vehen Tasu, with Doros, and so shall you do for all generations. Abrais explains that the two Toda Karbanas of the Mishnah means Belachman v'lo Besaron, their bread and not their meat. So as Lachme Tod and large fruit bowls were being paraded around as part of the procedure to expand the borders of Yerushalayim, Shiari Minchas and large fruit bowls were being paraded around to expand the Azar, which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama said, Ein Azar Miskadeshes El B'Shiari Mincha. The Azar is only consecrated with remainders from a Mincha. His reason is ultimately explained that just as Yerushalayim is sanctified with Lachme Toda, which are Davar Nechoba, an item which is eaten in it, the Yotzim Mimena Nipsal, and if it leaves Yerushalayim, it becomes disqualified, so too the Azar is sanctified with an item which may be eaten in it and is disqualified by leaving the Azar, namely Shiari Minchas. So as Lachme Tod and large fruit bowls were being paraded around as part of the procedure to expand the borders of Yerushalayim, Shiari Minchas and large fruit bowls were being paraded around to expand the Azara, as musicians sang and played instruments that were variations of fruit bowls, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that the procedure to be Makadish additions to the Mikdash and Yerushalayim was with Shira. Abraisa teaches Shir Shel Toda. They sang the song of thanksgiving, meaning Mizmor Lasoda, using harps, lyres, and cymbals, al kol pina upina, on every single corner, al kol evan gadol shebi Yerushalayim, and on every single great stone in Yerushalayim. They sing Aramimcha Hashem Kidulisani, I exalt you Hashem, for you have uplifted me, as well as the Shir Shel Pagaim, the song of harmful spirits, which some say is called the Shir Shel Nagaim, the song of plagues. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do you learn that according to Rav Shimon, the extra tamidim are sacrificed for Kaitzim Yizbeach? That's on daf Yud Beis. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn the source that one who becomes tamei in the Mikdash can be liable? That's on daf Tezayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that there are actually 8 cases of Yediyas Atuma, but the Mishnah only brings 4? That's on daf Yadalad. Good. Number 4. Which stuff you learn the source that one who becomes Tame in the Mikdash can be liable? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. Number 5. Which stuff you have a proof that Ketores has Kedushas a good from the fact that a Tvul Yom can disqualify it? That's on Daf Yadalad. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do we learn that according to Rebbe, one would get cars for a Yom Kippur transgression? For example, where one ate at the last moment of Yom Kippur without enough time to be atoned? That's on Daf Yud Gimel. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we learn about Hishtachba Klape Chutz and different forms of bowing the Mikdash? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. Number 8. Which stuff do we learn? The Rebbe Shimon agrees that the Siri Chatas cannot be used for Kaitzim Yizbeach. It's a Gezer Lacha Kapara Atu Ifne Kapara. That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we learn that the procedure to Mekadosh additions to the Mikdash and Yerushalayim was with Shira and musical instruments? That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we learn the Rimer holds all Seirim atone for all Tumas Mikdash Kadoshav? That's on Daf Yud. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.